That was the first part of George A. Castro's interview. And now here's Kill Conrad with the best policy, followed by Intervention by Russian Roulette featuring Rola.
A collection of bad relationships, bad pregnancies. They came and went like friends with benefits. Organized pile of memories filed away alphabetically from A to Z. She had a collection of headphones torn of families. Every year she made her birthday wish on her cake. Blew the candles out in hopes the history would disappear. Lucky falling stars never helped. Candles melted away. Never had a plan being her obsessive compulsive library. She's a classy freak behind closed doors. But if forced to talk, they would confess to you what people really thought. Six mistakes she never made, bet me $1,000. Being a perfectionist was so much easier done than said. Buried her past under a pillow, wait for sleep clean. Caught the tears from dripping, leaking, she didn't wanna clean. Like a guy busting, he already done did it. So quick to make her feel good, and the job is finished.
20 years past, she's in the same position. Missionary style, soldier, no protection. With the Bible in the hand and a dumb expression. Depression going wrong like the sun in the thunderstorm. Same story, different day, I don't understand. How you know your faults, but you don't wanna change. Same story, different day, I don't understand. You hold everything in the palm of your hand.
Misery needs company, and when it doesn't, it gets old. So she smiled and folded, gave in to the unwanted. Put her desires aside for the sake of her unrealistic dreams. Everything she wished for turned cold in the light of the streets. I feel the pain and struggle, but she asked for it. First come, first serve, when you knee deep in problems you cause. I gave her my shoulder, but she rubbed it off like a soldier. Got countless scars on her body, but she said they're all worth it. All she thinks about is a place to belong, places she's going in, not where she came from. Devious smile wraps the wrong, being a diamond in the rough is a struggle on its own. So she'll clear up the difference between genuine and fool's gold. But baby girl got issues, tissue soaked with relief, as she let her go out the front door, threw the last piece out the window. Her smile found reasons to glisten and ears to listen, that she didn't have to live this locked up place like it's prison.
20 years past, she's in the same position. Missionary style, soldier, no protection. With the Bible in the hand and a dumb expression. Depression going wrong like the sun in the thunderstorm. Same story, different day, I don't understand. How you know your faults, but you don't wanna change. Same story, different day, I don't understand. You hold everything in the palm of your hand.
Be strong, you have to know weakness to understand the difference where you went wrong, so you can fix mistakes and not go down that road. You're predictable like a cigarette after good sex. So I know what you need after you made yourself feel excellent in bed. Some words are best when not being said, but showing what you really meant. I'm fed up with reasons why you said you can't change. Better yet, you don't want to. Cause and effect got you faking. For that, you lack my utmost respect. I know you second time around, I know your next move like one foot in front of the other. Guess and check diva who got power. Don't bother, I still got your back when things get tougher. But this is the last line I waste on your drama. This is the last line I waste on your drama. This is the last line I waste on your drama. Drama. This is the last line I waste on your drama. 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 Drama.
20 years past, she's in the same position. Missionary style, soldier, no protection. With the Bible in the hand and a dumb expression. Depression going wrong like the sun in the thunderstorm. Same story, different day, I don't understand. How you know your faults, but you don't want to change. Same story, different day, I don't understand. You hold everything in the palm of your hand.
Palm of your hand, palm of your hand.
And here is George A. Castro again with the second part.
So they all came through on the minority. I was doing a show called Black Rap.
Oh, Black Rap, okay.
In Rhode Island, in the history of WJR for 13 years.
Yeah.
Doing a show called Black Rap. And I did another show called Let's Talk About It Now. I have a TV show called Now Is the Time.
Now where can we find that? Cable television in Rhode Island.
Yep, in Rhode Island. Cable called Now Is the Time. It comes on every Wednesday at 8 p.m., every Friday at 5 p.m.
So Channel 13?
Channel 13. Sometimes I'm the host. I have a training program. Some other people are the hosts also. I produce all the shows. I produce another show for former state legislators. Comes on Saturdays. I also co-produce Urban League. I was doing about three or four of them, then I gave them up because somebody else was. I train them to let people to go on and produce the shows, you know.
So now you just do one cable show, and of course the minority, what's it called again? Minority.
Yeah, I do three cable shows.
You still do all three cable shows?
Yeah, when they call me, I still produce them. I work with them.
Now the Sunday show again, the minority,
Monitor.
The minority monitor, of course. Tell me summarize the whole show in a nutshell.
To get information out to the minority community, we started off, the reason we call minority monitor, because I was one of the first people to have on Chinese, Japanese. I've had on people from Africa, all parts of Africa, from the so-called black minority community. One of the managers in charge, it's called Black Rap. You should call that minority monitor. You've got women on, you've got everybody on.
Sure.
Or I bring Caucasians on, whatever, you know, bring your. And as time went on, as I kept on going, I bring more and more people. I bring positive information to the people who tune into Minority Monitor. Mm-hmm. It's not negative, it's all positive. Mm-hmm. I want you to tune in and learn something and say, oh yeah, well, I didn't know that.
Sure.
You know, that's the format.
Sure. And with Minority Monitor, because of course it streams on the internet on coast933.com. Do you know if anybody that you know has listened to you from California or Florida or where's the furthest state that you've known that people have listened to?
Well, as far as I know, this single before was New England. Because I do shows with down in Mass. I have people, I have elected people from Connecticut on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to Maine and New Hampshire. As far as beyond, I don't know. Excuse me, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Clear Channel is one of the largest companies in the world.
Exactly.
And, you know, some things that happen, I can't talk about that.
Sure.
I gotta say this though. I've been in this a long time. The people here at this station, this building, I've never seen so many. Wonderful, nice people. I mean, I don't care who they are. The nicest people. I mean, I've met a lot of great people. But sometimes you always have somebody on an ego trip, you know. Not here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who brings these people in, but they're fantastic.
Now, talking about radio personalities, what's one somebody in Rhode Island or in radio in general, you know, that you look up to and why?
You're talking to him.
Really?
Yeah. I look up to me.
That's all.
I'm number one.
Yeah. And because, you know, of course, I've had some my mentor, I would say, other than me, would have to be you for myself. Now because I met you just recently. But before that, Mike Butts, of course, you know, I've interviewed him before he came on my show. But I would say the late Salty Bryant for me. Did you ever get a chance to meet Salty Bryant?
Oh yeah.
And when you have done. Well, actually, did he come on your show ever?
No, I met him. No, because I went to WPRO. I met him there. I met him ever. You know, when you're in the business, you meet different people. You know.
Did he touch your life in a way too?
No. The thing is, what started me off was I said this gentleman wanted me to come on the show, and from then on, back in the early '70s, you know, '60s, I was, you know, some come on. I said okay, so I got into it and I enjoyed it. I liked it, you know. And, I used to do a TV show for a while. I was going to do it with Channel 10. I was Merrill Hunt with WPRI TV. And then now we have my own. And it's something that I think has blessed me. And God has been good to me, and a lot of people, and people have.
Also, too, one final question before we leave. Of course, we're both Democrats, of course. You were behind Hillary Clinton, and by the time this airs, it's going to air in September, 2 months before the election, the general election. What does Barack Obama have to do to win the general election against John McCain? Does he, right now when we're recording this, of course, we're recording in June, no running mate yet, but does he have to get Hillary Clinton, or if not Hillary Clinton, how does he have to win the general election?
Well, he's got to have the Democrat Party totally behind him. Mm-hmm. That's everybody.
Everybody.
And how hard is that going to be for him?
Well, I don't know. It depends. He's already got some heavyweights with him. Mm-hmm. He got one of the greatest families in politics is the Kennedys, mm-hmm. you know, from this area. Mm-hmm. But he got some heavy people with him. I think
but
that,
Joker.
Well, I'm talking about political. Mm-hmm. She's entertaining. Mm-hmm. That's a different ballgame. Mm-hmm. You know, that's another thing
exactly,
to talk about.
Exactly.
Politically, because it's a different ballgame, he has a lot of heavyweights with him. And I think if Clinton comes around, which he has, and her husband and everybody else, he can beat McCain.
Also, too.
The Republican Party's got a bad, bad thing with happening with President Bush and what's going on now in the world, in the country.
And also, too, he has another person behind him who I've had on my show recently. Is former Senator Lincoln Chafee behind him, too. And that's a plus, too.
Well, Lincoln Chafee comes from a fantastic family. Lincoln Chafee is a fantastic guy. His father, his people, he didn't come out of it. I mean, a good family. I mean, his guy was down to earth. I've never met a guy who, sometimes he got an ego trip. He can't help it. They pump you up. But he was, I remember him coming along. I remember his father was governor and everything else. And he always was the same guy. Even though he's Republican, the same guy.
Well, I do thank you once again, George A. Castro, Minority Monitor, 6 a.m. every morning on Coast 933. And of course on coast933.com too, so anybody in the world can listen to you. And thank you again for being a guest on my show. I'm really doing an interview, so I got him of course because I want to do turn a favor. I've been on your show twice and I'm not gonna stop being on your show, and hopefully be back on my show sometime soon. If you
work something out, sure.
Thank you very much. Maybe it'll be the George and Derek show in the future.
All right, and now the George A. Castro again. And coming up next is Dustin Barclay, of course. But first, here's a new song by Rolla featuring Fliz off of Rolla's CD, My Story.
All right. All right, we're back here on Lose Yourself with the Derek Shapiro Show here on www.derekshapiroshow.com, episode number 33. And we have Dustin Barclay. I met you the other day at the Celtic Pub, right? That's a full name of it, right?
Yeah, the Kraken's Irish Pub.
Yeah, the Kraken's Irish Pub. I'm sorry, yes. Right in Marietta, of course. You are great, I'm telling you, the other night. You host this open mic night every Monday night, right?
Yes, sir, every Monday.
Yes, yeah, so you play guitar and you write your own music. Tell me about how you got started in the music. So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Woodstock, Georgia, actually.
Woodstock. So did you feel like you were at Woodstock, New York, with all the hippies, or no? Is that what Woodstock, Georgia is about?
that would be great, but you know, kind of cool. Woodstock, Georgia is more about Birmingham, Florida, right there.
Really? Have you ever visited Woodstock, New York?
I've been to New York, but mainly just since I finished my last tour with my old family, went to New York.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been there actually myself, but but I've been in New York City, of course, you know. But of course, growing up in Atlanta region, Woodstock, I mean, I only been down here for 6 months from Providence, Rhode Island, you know, from up north. But tell me about, what was your first feeling being up north in New York from being down here in Atlanta?
Well, I mean, you know, honestly, it was very different because I was before my old band. I hadn't really toured or traveled much at all. I'd hardly left the state, and then my old band Waving at Strangers, we flew to all of America, and we went to the UK for 2 weeks to tour around. You know, all independent, but it was a great experience. But it's different, you know. The north is different from the south.
Yes.
I remember the first show we had up there. I think it wasn't the first show. I think it's like actually right after New York, but we were in Boston, and it was snowing. And
yes.
This old guy, you know, we're all from Georgia, so we're all like bundled up like Star Wars 2 or something. And you know, we have, you know, just hoodies on, scarves, snow jackets, and this old guy comes up, we have a bar, you know, in shorts and, you know, tennis shoes, and you know, it looks like a really sweet old grandpa, and he is my guitar player and partner in crime, and he just, you know, being nice guy, is just like, hey, you know, you're wearing shorts, you know, just kind of joke around. And
Wow.
I'd like to buy this, but we've just never seen anything like that. That doesn't happen in the South that much.
Exactly, because we just had Miss Aquarius on, of course, my new co-host from Boston, right before I spoke to you. And right now she's wearing like, it's like 18 degrees over there in Boston, you know? And
yeah.
And she's been up in a scarf and everything like that. So and she's wearing a pea coat, and of course I see some people like wearing shorts and just jogging around, you know, here in Atlanta, you know. So it's new to me, you know. But did you ever play Providence, Rhode Island, where I'm from?
No, I think we're supposed to have a show in Rhode Island, but I think it got canceled. We our New York area. First time we got up there, I think we were supposed to have a show at CBGB, and it got canceled, and we were supposed to go to Rhode Island. That was the first show with them, but we had two shows up there that got canceled. It was hard, but we didn't really get to play much while we were there. We just kind of hung out, and then Boston was really good to us. And we got up to Massachusetts and all that, but you know, New York itself is a little bit harder.
Sure, and tell me about you being in the band. You're not together anymore?
The guitarist Ian and myself actually are still working on our project, and we're just getting it up and running. We're actually playing, you know, I don't know if anybody's listening in the Marietta area, or if you're close to Rochester or San Diego, but anybody is listening in the area. We're playing tonight. Drummer went off and got married, and then we had a new drummer, but the new drummer didn't tour as much. That slowed us down because
And,
so
he's a bass player, moved up to Athens. He's finishing up his master's. Just been now finishing up his master's, about to start on a doctorate in philosophy. So just people everybody's moving on and doing other stuff. So Ian and I keep doing our thing, but we'll do a little bit different. Because I guess what we're doing now is a little bit older style of rock, but before it was very energetic pop rock.
Right. Well, I just want to mention that I'm recording this on the 15th, of course. But I mean today, but this is coming out the 15th, of course. Are you performing after the 15th, of course, together?
I'm sure we will be at some point. We just now got our lineup finished, so, me and Ian have got the songs, but we got to get a drummer and a bass player up to date.
Sure.
So, I'm sure that I'll be playing. I play every Thursday night at the Kraken's on the square by myself.
Really?
Nine to one. But I'm sure Ian and I will be playing up there, and I usually play up there some weekends on my own, and I'm sure once we get our band going, we'll be up there a lot, and we'll be all around a lot. But anybody can check out either Line Line Saves at Dustin Barclay or Barclay and Campbell.
Awesome.
Just look up Barclay like the bank, and then Campbell like the soup.
Yeah. Yes, I was thinking about that. So no Progresso in your house, just Campbell soup, right?
Exactly.
What's the first song you want us to play of yours right now?
July. Honestly, I think that's probably the best one.
The end of July?
Good upbeat song.
Okay, and tell me about this song.
When I was on tour, on our first tour, with Waving at Strangers, an old band, I met this girl in L.A., and most of the songs in the album I'm working on are about this girl. Named Amy, and I guess kind of everybody's got that one girl that kind of ruined it for the world, and she was kind of it for me. And one night after my birthday, right after we broke up, she had bought me this really nice bottle of scotch for my birthday, and I just kind of broke into it and wrote almost all the songs that are going to be on the CD.
Wow.
And July was one of the first ones I wrote while I was a little bit inebriated, but it was a good experience and got a lot of stuff out. So July was just kind of my way of saying, hey, in 6 months, you'll be sorry.
So if Amy's listening right now, right? So if Amy's listening right now, what's one thing you want to tell Amy?
I haven't talked to Amy in a long time. I still think about it all the time, but yeah.
Okay, well, here is...
I hope she hears the song eventually, and I hope she feels bad about it.
All right, feel bad about it, Amy. All right. All right, here is July here on Losing Some of the Daryl Shapiro Show. We'll be right back with Dustin, of course. All right, we're back here on Lose Yourself, the Derek Shapiro Show. Of course, Dustin Barkley. Dustin checks in, of course. You remember that movie, Dustin Checks In?
Dustin Checks In? No.
No. Dustin Checks In, I think Jason Alexander was in that, you know, from Seinfeld, you know. Tell me about, what's one thing you like to do for fun when you're not doing the music?
I hate to say it after not even knowing that movie, but I'm kind of a movie buff.
You really?
I like movies a lot. I'm big into listening to other people's music. Just hanging out and writing, honestly. Recently, you know, I've been just trying to study a lot, trying to get back in school and all that, but trying to set up future tours for when me and Barkley and Campbell get, you know, going again and stuff like that, but... So I guess recently it's just a lot of work, but I guess usually just hanging out, going to shows every now and then, you know.
And who are some of the influences that you look up to in the music business, would you say?
Oh, wow. I guess it's a little bit cliche.
Go ahead.
The line between cliche and classic is pretty thin, but the Beatles, obviously.
The Beatles, really?
You gotta love the Beatles. I mean, you can't, but, you know.
Well, what's some of your favorite Beatles tunes?
That's an even harder question. There's so many. I mean, you know, honestly, my favorite song of all time would be Let It Be.
Let It Be, okay. Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's classic, but there's so many great Beatles tunes. And, you know, when I play cover sets, I'll be safe with practice Thursday. I've got tons of them on the set list of people throw class. And, you know,
sure.
I like all kinds of music, honestly. You know, I grew up listening to old rock and old cast music and the Beatles, and I also grew up listening to country, and, you know, so it's kind of funny, and I'm a Southern guy, but, I was raised in such a way that I didn't get to know the show as much, but, you know, like, to my dad, I was listening to tons of country, but, you know, when I went up north, it was really hilarious. Back in California, people always tell me they didn't really think I had much of an accent, and
sure.
Almost made me feel bad, because I kind of wanted to represent where I came from a little bit more, but
sure.
What can you do?
Now, of course, I've been asking all my guests about this today. Of course, Martin Luther King's Day is coming up pretty soon. What does Martin Luther King's Day mean to you?
Martin Luther was pre-revolutionary. I mean, he started the Lutheran, you know, the whole Lutheran movement. I mean, that's kind of actually complicated. I don't know that I could say that he actually completely is responsible for it, but I mean, a big part of it was in honoring of him. He actually never left the Catholic Church, but religion is pretty important to me, and Ian as well. It's important to all of us, actually. It always has been. I'm obviously not the most PC person. I mean, I go out and play music at bars and have a couple of beers and have fun. But I think that spirituality and religion is good, and I definitely have my beliefs. But I think Martin Luther was a great guy, and I think it's good to remember people for sure. I don't necessarily, you know, go out of my way to take off work or celebrate or anything, but, you know.
Right.
Always good to have people be honored, and people that, you know, people like him that, you know, were chastised and pretty much, you know, really blackballed for their beliefs and just standing up for something and saying, hey, look, you know, this is wrong, you know. Like,
right. And also, too, what's your take on our first black president, Barack Obama, you know, coming into office this week, and what's your take in that?
Oh, wow. Wow, you're going to ask me political questions, huh?
Yes.
Obama, here's kind of my stance on it, and I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but really, I always say that I vote for people that I distrust less.
Really?
And, yeah, you know, like, I think everybody's got good intentions, but at the same time, it's business, you know?
Right.
And that's kind of how I see everything is, you know, I'm more of a fan of human nature than I am a fan of saying, well, you know, according to this or that or this thing that happened here, you know, to me, it's more just human nature. So I see things like, there's some things that I really like about him, you know, like, in some ways, he seems like he's got a good heart, he seems like he's a uniter, so, I mean, that's
exactly,
great, you know?
Exactly.
The other things that kind of bothered me about it, but it wasn't as much about him, it's more about the way people react to it, and the way people just, I don't know, it almost seemed more important to have somebody that everybody loves than to really, I mean, because, like, he's a very likable guy.
He is a very likable guy.
It's not that there's anything about him that I'm like, hey, this, you know, this is bad. It's just more about the fact that a lot of people I talked to about it, they didn't really know much about it. It's just like, oh, he looks great, and MTV loves him, and Justin Timberlake likes him, so let's vote for him. And to me, if you're listening to Justin Timberlake, you know, if that persuades you at all, then maybe you shouldn't be voting. You know, like,
well,
I don't know. I thought it was funny the way pop culture kind of really took over a lot.
Well, I definitely know that it's going to be night and day with the Bush, you know, him out, you know, saying he ruined the country, I think, Bush, you know what I'm saying? And Barack Obama, you know, hopefully going to save the country, hopefully. But, you know, time will tell, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know, I kind of, you know, the more I study and stuff like that, which I'm not a professional or anything like that, you know, like, I've got friends that do some great stuff, you know, like, I've got a good friend of mine, Justin, actually, he worked for the governor, I guess now he'll be working for, you know, a much higher position, but,
right.
You know, he graduated from Harvard, and, you know, he's a financial guy, and, yeah, great guy, really smart, but, you know, having talks with him and reading other stuff, the more there's a lot of things that Bush did that I didn't like, so I'm not defending anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, so don't think of that way, but I do think that to some extent the economy kind of goes up and down, and I kind of think it's one of the things that people try to label it or say, oh, it's because of this, but in the end, who knows, you know, like,
exactly.
Who knows? That's kind of...
Now, I think that's funny. You have a friend named Justin, so Justin Dustin, huh?
I'll give a shout out to Justin from the world. You guys are the reason why people can't get my name right.
All right.
I was actually named after Dustin Hoffman.
So really?
I always tell people, like Dustin Hoffman, so it's always a good conversation piece. But...
Now, Dustin Hoffman, I liked him in Meet the Fockers. I love that, you know what I'm saying?
He's great.
Yes, exactly. Now, what's the next song you want us to play here on Lose Yourself with the Derek Shapiro Show?
Oh, we're going to play another one, huh?
Yes.
Okay, I think True Confessions of the Sinners and the Saints, that's a good tune, too.
True Confessions of the Sinners and the Saints, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a long name. It might be shaved down to just Sinners and the Saints for the CD.
All right. Well, I do thank you for Losing Yourself today. And here is Dustin, followed by Mass on My Back with Jay Smooth featuring Rolla, and they're from Boston, of course. And I do thank you once again.
This is Dustin Barclay, and you're losing yourself to the Derek.